You are about to be inspired, motivated, and your life changed. Are you ready? Welcome to the God's Love Podcast. Here's your host, David Mastin.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the God's Love Podcast. I'm your host, David Mastin, formerly known as the I've Got Something to Say podcast. I am so glad that you guys are listening in today. And I have to just say that I know a lot of you may be wondering, or maybe you're not wondering. I don't know. But we did do a little bit of a name change here. I was praying one day. And in prayer, I just felt led that it was time to change the name and really start to pursue down the path that I believe that God has called me to do, which is one day to pastor and to lead his people. And so this is the start of it. No, this is not a church. This is not, I'm not making a church right now. But I am beginning the process of establishing just some very crucial ministries that I think, the world needs. We're starting off with the podcast, of course, and then the next step is going to be a mentorship program for teenagers. And then we'll also do after that, we'll do some food pantries, some trying to develop some shelters, and then after that, we'll try to go down and if the God says the same, then we'll go down the path of opening up a church. That's way down the line, or in my mind is way down the line. It could be soon. I don't know. We always make plans, but God always changes them, right? Or sometimes he changes them. And so, I just felt that it was time for me to really redo this, and I felt the name change was important because it was time to take the focus off of me and really put it back on God. The I've Got Something to Say podcast, meaning myself, could have a perception of a little bit of one-sidedness, and that it's all coming from me and that it's all my thoughts, and it is still my thoughts, it's still my opinions, it's still what I feel, but the focus is still on God and the love of God, because I talk about it often in a lot of the podcasts. And to be quite honest, a lot of the things that God has helped me to be either set free on, or is working with me on, or is working in me on, is based upon his love that he has for me. And if you think about it, everything in our lives that we appreciate about God, or that we love about him, comes from his love. And so I felt that it was time to take the focus off of just what I had to say and put it back on God. And in the future, hopefully, I know I said this last through the last couple of episodes, hopefully in the future we can start getting some guests. I am in the process of starting up live, video shoots again, or not live, but recorded sessions again of the podcast, so you can watch me and you can also, listen at the same time. So, again, thank you guys so much for tuning in. I appreciate every last single one of you. And so let's go ahead and get started. Over the past couple of weeks, I would say God has really been dealing with me on love and what love is, what love isn't. And one of the things that he's been working on me with is that there are some common misconceptions, of love. And over the next weeks or so, we're going to be dealing with a topic of the common misconceptions of love. And today is part one. And one of the things that God had to check me on was my feelings and my emotions. A lot of times we base love off of feelings and emotions that are in all reality temporal. We in relationships that are good, a lot of times because of our temporal feelings and emotions. We cheat on spouses because of our temporal feelings and emotions. We leave the church, we leave jobs because of our temporal feelings and emotions. And the Bible talks about guarding your heart, for out of it flows the issues of life. It talks about guarding it and keeping it with all due diligence. And it talks about making sure that your heart is intact. The translation of that particular heart, a lot of times there's different translations of heart in the Bible. One can be mind, and then the other can be feelings, emotions. And when the Bible is talking about guarding your heart, it's talking about guarding your feelings, your emotions, because your feelings and your emotions can a lot of times derail you, or a lot of times direct you down paths that are not the right path to go through or to go down, or is not the right path for you. And so sometimes your emotions and your feelings cause you to speak out of turn, causes you to cuss somebody out or to act harshly because you are in an emotional feeling state of mind. And again, I know you guys have to hear it. My heat just turned on. but your feelings and your emotions, the Bible talks about guarding it because it understands how powerful your feelings and your emotions can be. Your feelings and emotions can be so strong to where you want to kill somebody. Your feelings and emotions can be so strong to where you do something dangerous, or you do something irrational because of how you feel. And the Bible talks about you have to guard your feelings. You have to make sure that nothing can penetrate them, because if you don't protect it, it will rash out and you'll lose control. You can lose control. You can lose yourself. The Bible talks about one emotion and one feeling is anger. It talks about not letting the sun go down on your wrath, and to make sure that your anger is for a moment. It doesn't say that you cannot be angry, but it says that you ought to check your anger. You shouldn't allow your anger to rule you, because if you allow it to rule you and you will allow it to fester and you allow it to control you, it will make you act irrational. A part of the Bible, a Bible story that we can talk about is the in the beginning, Cain and Abel. Adam and Eve has these two sons. One is Cain, one is Abel. Abel goes and he gives God a blood sacrifice of animals. Cain gives God a sacrifice, but his sacrifice is of plants, vegetables, and fruits. God liked or loved Abel's sacrifice more than Cain. Cain becomes jealous, and God tells Cain to do something before Cain acts irrational. He tells him, Cain, you need to check your anger, or sin lieth at the door. In other words, Cain, if you do not control how you feel, then Cain, you're going to act irrational. You're going to do something that you don't really want to do. You are going to do something that you should not do because you are allowing your feelings to control you. You're allowing your anger to control you. Now, in John, 1 John rather, in 1 John chapter number 3, the author goes over this particular story. And the author, I want to read it to us, because I think if we read it, that we would get a better understand, we would better understand the concept here of love versus feelings and emotion, and how we have to be careful that love is not based on how we just feel. The Bible in John chapter number 3, in 1 John chapter number 3, the author here reviews this story. He goes back, John goes back, and he talks about this story. And he talks about it, and he says in verse number 11, "For this is the message that we heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." The beginning of what? Since the very beginning, and particularly in the teachings of Jesus Christ, the first things that God is teaching us is that we should love one another. Even in the very beginning, God's plan has always been for mankind to love one another. And I'll go into that in a minute. Well, matter of fact, I'll go into it now. It was the very beginning. In the very beginning, God has always wanted us to love. He has always called us to love. Now, let's prove this, right? In between for human interaction. When God makes Eve, the Bible says that God says, "Now shall a man leave his mother and his father and cleave to his wife." Now, that is now showing an act of love. He's saying here that there is the only way that a man can truly love his spouse unconditionally and take care of her and to provide for her and to take action, because love is an action, and we'll talk about that in this episode and in other episodes to come more in depth. But this act of love now comes from leaving my comfortability with my mother and father and cleaving to my wife. I am going to cleave to her. I'm going to be with her. I am going to take care of her. She's now mine. Me and her are one. And because me and her are one, I am going to leave my comfortability and cleave to her, because this is now love. But the opposite of this, of this love, of this unconditional love that we should have, is this story between Cain and Abel. And John says this, he says that we should love one another. Verse 12, 1 John chapter number 3 says, "Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's was righteous." In other words, Cain killed his brother because he was jealous and envious and was in hatred over his brother's sacrifice. He did not like the fact that God liked Abel's sacrifice more than Cain's sacrifice. And so because of this, hatred builded up and he acted irrational. Remember, feelings, emotion. But what should have happened is that when God came to Cain to correct him of his anger, the love that Cain has towards Abel should have calmed him down. Well, why didn't it? Because love is not a feeling and an emotion. Love is an actionable thought that one is determined they're going to do. I'll say it again. Love is an actionable thought that one is determined they are going to do. So it takes a determination when I am angry to calm myself down before I act irrational. In the corporate world, they call that using emotional intelligence, meaning that I feel a certain way. I recognize how I feel. And I will also recognize that the individual who is next to me is not the cause of how I feel. Neither should I react. Even if that person is the cause of how I feel, I should not react off of this anger. I should be reacting off of love, unconditional love. I have to force myself and make myself act in a way of love. So John confirms that theory when he says in verses below that hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren, right? Verse 18 says, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and truth. In other words, love is not an emotion. Love, we'll go into deeper that, but the love is not an emotion. It is not just, or should I, let me rephrase. Love is not just an emotion. Love is not just a feeling, but love is an act and a determination of one's will that they are going to do this. They are going to determine themselves to do this act of love unconditionally. It's not going to be predicated upon what you do to me. It's not going to be predicated on what you say to me. It's not going to be predicated upon how you act. Excuse me. It is going to be because I am determined to love you, because that is the commandment that God has given me, and the commandment was not conditional. There is no conditional clause in the commandment of me loving you. It is my responsibility, no matter what you've done, is to love you. Now, that's where maturity has to come in, and that has to develop. That is not something I don't think anybody automatically has besides Jesus. That's why Jesus says to be ye perfect as I am perfect. He didn't say that word perfect is not to mean dotting every I and crossing every T perfectly in our general sense of that word, but it is referring to maturity. In other words, it's saying it's time for you to grow up, and it's time for you to learn how to love people besides their behavior. Ooh, why? Because Jesus loves us besides our behavior. He does not determine his love towards us based upon what we've done or what we did. His love is on us because he made a self decision that no matter what Johnny, Billy, Sue, Sally, whoever has done, I am going to love you. The scripture says that while we were yet sinners, God died for the ungodly, meaning that he did not care what you did, how you did it, what you said about him, what you were going to do in the future. He was self-determined that no matter what, I'm going to love you. And that type of love does not come by feeling. That type of love does not come by your emotions. That type of love can only be executed when you are self-determined to unconditionally love someone. And that takes maturity and time to develop. Now, some people may be there closer as you get older in age. And it is very, very hard to say that. And it's easy for me to say and speak that now, but understand that is a very, very difficult thing to do. It was very, very difficult it is very, very difficult to act on that, right? Especially if somebody did something egregious, such as they robbed you, they stole something from you, they broke something. We could even go more egregious, and yet and still God's commandment is for us to love. Now, love does not mean I don't hold you accountable. Love means I have to hold you accountable for what you did and for your actions. But love means that besides all of that, I'm going to forgive you, I'm going to let it go, and I'm going to move forward. There's different types of dissecting that concept now, that love is a self-determination and a will that you're going to do this no matter what, then we have to, and let me prove this again. The scripture, and we talked about earlier, heart being translated into feelings and emotion. John actually says this, brings up a point here that I want to bring out. He says, and hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. This is, 1 John chapter number 3, verse 20. It says, for if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence towards God. Now, there's two scriptures here. Both have the same heart. Both are the same variation of heart. And those are translated to feelings and your emotions. In saying that, what does he say? He says, and hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. Verse 20, for if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Verse 21, beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. The first verse, verse 20, speaks of, again, our feelings. If our heart and our feelings and our emotions condemn us to love somebody, it doesn't matter because God is greater than our feelings and our emotions. And so what Paul says is even if your feelings and your emotions do not dictate for you to love, then you still do it because God's commandment and God's ways is greater than your feelings. Man, that's a powerful statement, that to say that God's commandments and his ways and what God requires is greater than how you feel. The next verse says that, let's just say your feeling and your mind and your feelings and your emotions do agree to love, then you have no issue. You have confidence towards God to do this. But either way, your feelings and your emotions should not dictate how you love somebody and you loving somebody unconditional. Now, there are different variations of love, right? There are variations of love that is a type of love is arousal. It's an erotic love. It's Greek for eros, right? And this eros love, this arousal love, this is between a love between a spouse. You are aroused by them. You are turned on by them, right? You are sexually involved with them. And then there is, I want to say one, I'm probably going to butcher the pronunciation of these. There's philios, which is a type of love that you have with a friend and family member. There's storge. That's a different type of love. And then there's agape, right? Now, the Bible always refers, when it talks about husbands, love your wives as Christ loves the church. It is an agape type love. It is an unconditional love. The Bible does not reference any of the other three latter Greek interpretations of love. It doesn't reference necessarily or use that word in scripture when it talks about love. It doesn't use in scripture the word love translated to eros or any other feeling or emotion of love. When it is referring to how you should treat each other, it is talking about unconditional love. When it's talking about how husbands should treat their wives, it is talking about an unconditional love. Now, the Bible does make reference to these loves indirectly, right? Not necessarily using those different Greek words, but the emphasis that the Bible always places its finger on and its direct its focus on is agape. Now, when it says husbands love your wives, it is an agape type love, but that agape type love is an actionable love. In other words, he's saying that husbands, you should love your wives unconditionally, and that should not be just by thought or creed, but it should be by deed. It should be by what you're doing, actionable. And it references that by saying, as Christ loved the church, and Christ expressed his love towards the church by him sacrificing himself for his church, him willing to die for his people, for his church. And so what gets most of us in trouble when it comes to loving people is we place the wrong categories of love in front of unconditional love. I'll give you an example. You meet somebody, you love the things that they possess, you love the things that they are, but they too light-skinned, right? Well, this person is too light-skinned. I can't get with that because they too light skin, but they got everything that you want. They got the qualities that you desire. So why can't you love them? They don't do this. They don't do these temporal things, but the basis of who they are, you appreciate. So why can't you love this person? The reason why is because we allow the temporal things of this world and the temporal things of life to overshadow the unconditional love that we should have towards somebody. We place the wrong categories of love in front of each other, and therefore we view love very differently than what how God view love. Now, don't get me wrong, right? We are attracted to who we are attracted to, but our attraction should not determine how we love. And that's my timer to let me know that I'm getting ready to talk too much. But attraction was never supposed to be the leading base on who we love. Man, I want to say this, and I'm gonna close it. I promise y'all, because I try to keep these podcasts at 30 minutes, 35 minutes at the longest, and I want to make sure that I'm doing that. I'm gonna prove that God's original intent was not necessarily. For your love for that person to be based upon attraction. Okay. So when God made Adam, right, he made Adam from the dust of the ground. He then takes the rib from him and he creates Eve. Adam and Eve are married, and the Bible says that are put together. They're married. God marries them. Then he puts them together, and God gives them a commandment. He says to go be fruitful and multiply. Now, a lot of times we make reference because Adam named Eve woman. And we make mentions and we say things like, oh, and when he saw her, he said, whoa, man. In other words, she was so beautifully built and all this kind of stuff, which is totally untrue to what the Bible and how the Bible is referencing this particular context. There is no law of attraction here in regards to Adam and Eve. Adam recognizes that Eve is meant for him and that he is meant for her. And thus, because of that, because those two individuals were meant for each other, he now is engulfed by the fact that he and her were meant to be together. Now, this means, then after all of this happens, the Bible says that Adam and Eve were naked in the garden and they knew it not. They didn't know each other was naked until after they ate the fruit. In other words, Adam couldn't have been aroused by Eve because of her body type, because he didn't know she was naked. The only thing he saw was, this woman was meant for me. She's mine. And God, she has the qualities and the cares that I like. So therefore, my determination is not going to be based off of my attraction, because that isn't there. What's there is my spiritual eyes that knows that this woman is for me. She has the qualities that I need. She's going to help me. She's going to be my help meet for me. She's going to help me take care of what God called me to do. And because of that, that's going to be my attraction. And that's why I want to marry this woman. Right? All right. Now, also, she was the only woman there. Right? But my point in that is that it could not have been attraction that caused Adam to be, want to be with her. Right? To say that is wrong. Attraction didn't come in until after they ate the fruit. The reason why some of us choose wrong spouses, choose wrong mates, is because we based off of what we see our attraction is, not based off how they treat us, not based off of how we feel, not based upon the qualities that the individual has. We determine our love for them beginning based off of how they look instead of getting to know the person. And so you get engulfed with this individual, you marry them, and it don't last. You don't get nowhere. You can't be productive because your love was based off of something that is temporal. The reason why you can't base love off attraction, off of physical attributes, unconditional love that is because physical bodies do not stay the same over time. You got to base your love off of unconditional. It has to be unconditional. It can't have any conditions when you love somebody. Yes, that person has to treat you right. And they have to cater to you. What qualities does this person have? Does this person have the necessary things that will help me be who I should be in God? Or are they going to set me back? I can't base my spouse off of conditional measures. Because if I put the conditional measures before the unconditional, I'm not going to stay long. So, as I bring this to a close, loving somebody and the love that we share towards people should not be solely based off of what we see, what we hear, what we know, and our feelings and our emotions. Because feelings and emotions don't stay forever. They're here for one moment and they're gone the next. Your love that you show towards, especially your brothers, your sisters, your family, your friends, and even your spouse or whoever, has to have an unconditional love. And if it doesn't, the temporal things of this life will destroy that relationship. What would this world be if everybody loved everybody unconditionally and truly loved them? They didn't base it off their feelings, their emotions, their hormones, right? How many murders would not happen if we loved unconditionally? How many molestations, rapes, suicides, homicides would not happen if we taught and we unconditionally love somebody? Because you cannot unconditionally love somebody and kill them. The Bible talks about that with Cain. That was Cain's issue. Cain let his feelings and his emotions control him. So I say that to say, let's get back to real love. And that real love was shown to us by Jesus Christ, who died for our sins. And while we were yet sinners, in other words, not worthy of it, separated from God. But Jesus still died for us, and he died for everybody, so that all of us could have access to him. I'm going to pray. Father, I thank you so much for today's lesson. I thank you, Father, because that today's lesson convicts me, and Lord is asking me to change. Father, I ask that you forgive us. Forgive us for not loving the right way and letting our feelings determine how we love. Lord God Jesus, I'm asking that today you provide clarity to all who listen, and that Lord God Jesus, you allow us, and that you deposit your love, your unconditional love, into our hearts, and that we love each other. Lord, help us. Help us, Father. And I thank you, and I praise you, and I give you glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate the love and the support. We got some exciting things coming down the line. I've been saying for the longest that merchandise is coming by this Friday. Our online store where you can purchase hoodies, shirts, hats, things like that, is going to be online. And there'll be a link that you can click. It's going to be great, y'all. It is going to be great. We're doing things still, even before the year ends out. We're still accomplishing things and goals, and so can you. So thank you for tuning in. I appreciate y'all. Thank you. Thank you. y'all have an amazing day. Peace.
Thank you for listening to the God's Love Podcast. Subscribe, share, and stream on all podcast streaming outlets.